Special this morning, we're doing, it's kind of an older song. It's by the Lost Lonely Boys, and the song is called Heaven. Of living in, how far is heaven? Oh, look, can you tell me? I've been locked up way too long in this crazy world. How far is heaven? And I just keep on praying, Lord, and just keep on living. How far is heaven? Oh, Lord, can you tell me? How far is heaven? I got to know how far, yeah. How far is heaven? Oh, Lord, can you tell me? Sun is yellow. It came out to benediction. 'Cause I know there's a better place than this place I'm living in. How far is heaven? And I just got to have some faith and just keep on giving. How far is heaven? Yeah, Lord, can you tell me? How far is heaven? 'Cause I got to know how far. How far is heaven? Yeah, Lord, can you tell me? How far is heaven? 'Cause I got to know how far. Yeah, I got to know how far.
Amen.
Thank you.
That song asks the question, how far is heaven? As Christians, we're to long for heaven, right? Here on earth, it seems like we sometimes, or maybe even often, feel weary. We become pretty weary, like we're in misery, lost in this crazy world. But in heaven, heaven is a place where there's no more misery, where there's no more weariness, and where it's finally, where we're finally set free from this prison we're living in. So we long for heaven. But just how far is heaven? Because I just got to know how far. So can you tell me? No, really, can you tell me? How far is heaven. How many miles away is heaven? You've heard the expression, right? Heaven on earth. You've heard that expression, right? Heaven on earth. So maybe if we look hard enough, we can find heaven on earth. Maybe we can find heaven on this earth if we just look hard enough. Well, I didn't have a globe at my house this morning, but pretend this is a globe, okay? The surface area of the earth is approximately 197 million square miles, okay? So if heaven is on earth, all we would have to do is search all 197 million square miles, and eventually we would find it, right? I mean, it would take maybe a long time. It might take a lot of work to find it, but we would eventually find it. If it was somewhere on the earth, we could find it. I mean, that's a big distance to cover, but with 7 billion people on this planet, surely we can all work together and find heaven on earth. And then no matter where that location is, we could calculate the distance from our current location to that location somewhere on the earth and go to heaven. Well, since the earth has a circumference of 25,000 miles around, then that means that no matter where heaven on earth would be, the maximum distance to that location would have to be half of that, right? Half of the distance from one point to the other, on the other side of the world that distance would be 12,500 miles, which is half the distance all the way around. 12,500, so no matter how far heaven is from us, if heaven is on earth, then at most it would be 12,500 miles. So if heaven is on earth, then the answer to the question, how far is heaven, is less than 12,500 miles. So let's go, right? Let's work hard to find heaven, and then we can all finally rest, right? Well, of course, heaven is not on earth. This earth is full of sin, sickness, sorrow. And it's full of those things, not because the people down the street sinned, or because people like Hitler and bin Laden sinned, but because we've sinned. So we long to be delivered from this prison that we created for ourselves. We long to be delivered from this crazy world, but this crazy world is crazy because our own sin makes it crazy. Our own prison, full of ourselves, full of sin, full of sickness and sorrow. And we know that none of those things, though, will be in heaven, right? Not even a little bit. So even if we find a place on earth that we can call figuratively heaven on earth, it must not really be heaven, because our sin still surrounds us, including ourselves inside of us. So maybe heaven must be just a little bit further than 12,500 miles away. Maybe heaven's up in the sky, right? I mean, Jesus ascended from the earth, right? He ascended. He actually flew up into the sky, right? So we sometimes picture heaven as being up in the clouds, right? So maybe we just need to get out our telescope and then look up to the heavens and see if we can find heaven in the clouds. Or maybe we should do something even better than that. Maybe we just need to get in rocket ships. I mean, here's the thing. Of course, we don't know how big the universe is, but we do know that the observable universe, the part that we can see with a telescope, is about 46 billion light years from one end to the other, 46 billion light years across. So all we would have to do is have about 7 billion of us go in our each of us our own rocket ship, right? And just shoot them up in the sky, each in different directions, and just explore space, explore the known universe, and then maybe we can find heaven eventually, right? If each of us would just shoot up in the space, boldly going where no man has gone before, eventually, we'll find heaven. Right? Wrong. Why not? Because you can't get to heaven in a rocket ship. Right? You almost add that line to that song. You can't get to heaven in a rocket ship because a rocket ship won't take that trip, right? It just won't happen because we can't get to heaven in a rocket ship. It's not because the universe is so vast that it would take too long to find. It's because heaven isn't physical in the way that we understand physical, right? We know that heaven is physical because Jesus ascended physically and went to heaven physically, but only after Jesus rose from the dead. So Jesus having his resurrection body, which was like this fusion between the spiritual and the physical, only then was he able to ascend physically and go to heaven, where no man has gone before, straight to the throne of heaven. Yeah, and we long to join him. But we can't get to heaven by searching this earth, and we can't get to heaven in a rocket ship. It must be more than 12,500 miles away. It must be more than 46 billion light years away. So just how far is heaven? Luke chapter 12, verses 33 and 34. Jesus, talking to his disciples, says this: "Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Let's pray. Father, change our hearts. Help us to embrace true riches in Christ, that we may experience the true treasure in the heavens, the treasure that does not fail. In his name we pray. Amen. The word "for" is that at the beginning of verse 34. It says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The word "for" at the beginning of that verse signifies that it is the basis, the rationale for what we read back in verse 33. So we're going to begin by looking at verse 34 first, and then we'll go back and see the practical application of it in verse 33. So first, verse 34, it says this: "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Where is your treasure? What is your treasure? A lot of people treat money or accomplishments or even family as their treasure. But as we've already discovered, you can't find heaven on earth. And the Bible says that it's that our true treasure is not on the earth, but in the heavens. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, if your treasure is in anything that you can find on this earth, then your heart will be set on earthly things. You see that? Have any of you ever been to the U.S. Bureau of Printing and Engraving in Washington, D.C.? That's where they print the money. That's where they print all of our money. There's one other location, but that's where they print most of it. It's there in Washington, D.C. I went there once as a kid, and I remember going through the tour. I was just curious, though. Have any of you guys been there where they print the money? I know a few of us have, but have you at least are kind of aware of that place in Washington, D.C. where they print that? Anyway, I went there once when I was a kid. And I remember going through the tour and seeing the machines where they made the money, the machines that printed the money. And as you walk through the building, you see all this money. I mean, just kind of sitting around. There's just sheets of money. I mean, there's money all over the place. There's money behind plaques. There's money behind glass windows. There's money on the machines, but you can't touch any of the money. You can't get to any of the money. But you see all this money, you're thinking, man, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of treasure. Wouldn't it be nice to have some of that treasure? And then right at the end of the tour, they take you straight to the gift shop. And in the gift shop, they sell these small bags of $150 of shredded money. And they sell it for like a dollar. And I remember thinking the same thing that everybody thinks when they get to that point. I could tape this back together. Right? I mean, that's what we think. We see all this money, we're like, we start getting greedy. I mean, I want some of that money, and then you get to this place and they sell it for a dollar. I could tape it back together. Well, even though my parents bought one of those little bags for me as a souvenir, I never actually opened the bag because it would probably take 2 or 3 days to tape correctly even just one $1 bill, multiply that by 150, and it would take over a year to make $150, right? And my time, even as a 10 or 11-year-old kid, was worth more than that. It was worth more than that. So I treasured my time over the treasure of $150. It wasn't that $150 wasn't worth anything, but it's just that my time was worth far more. You know, most of us would say that money is not our treasure. We don't particularly hoard our money. We don't obsess over it. We don't make it our goal in life to get more and more of it. We're happy just to have enough, most of us, and yet most of us also do not sell most of our possessions and give to the needy either. Maybe money isn't our treasure. Money may not be your treasure, but it seems like something else is. Maybe it's something that we spend our money on. Maybe it's that one thing that all of our expenses have in common. So let's figure it out. Last month, some of my highest expenses were a payment on our house, gasoline and tires for my car, food for my belly. What do all these things have in common? Me. Me. My house, my food, my car, all these things have in common is me. And even if I were to spend money on my family, it's still my family that I'm spending money on. So even if money isn't my treasure, it kind of seems like I'm my treasure. I mean, the Bible even says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And where's my heart? It's in me. It's in me. So I kind of wonder if, as long as I'm in this flesh, I'm always going to struggle against the tendency to make me my greatest treasure. You know, everything on this earth can be destroyed by thieves and moths. That is, all possessions, all of our relationships, everything that we try to earn for ourselves or keep for ourselves, it can disappear. It can be stolen from us. And even my own flesh is rotting away. I mean, every moment you live is a moment you're closer to death. So if I'm my own treasure, then my treasure is disappearing more and more. Every day, my treasure is just fleeing from me. I can't hang on to it. There's no fountain of youth. And the day that I die, if myself is my treasure, I will be completely broke, penniless, having no treasure, because my heart will have stopped beating. And if my heart isn't beating, then I will have no treasure, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And yet when Jesus said this, it was kind of like an invitation, wasn't it? I mean, it's like Jesus was saying, I know your treasure is in you. It's in the things of this earth. But it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. Your treasure can be in heaven. Your treasure can be in a place where no moth can destroy, no thief can break in and steal. And if your treasure is in heaven, then it will never fail. It will last forever. Most Americans believe that much. More than 70% of Americans believe there's a heaven, a place where people are eternally rewarded. Most Americans believe that much, but most of them think that only the big sins will keep you from going there. Things like murder and rape, wearing socks with sandals, voting Democrat, those are the things that will keep you from heaven, right? Only the big sins will keep you from going to heaven. So as long as we do enough good or and only sin in small ways, we're okay, right? Well, the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. That's Romans 6:23. The Bible says that whoever keeps the whole law and stumbles at just one point of it is guilty of breaking all of it. James 2:10. So even if we just sin once, one, in a small way, we're guilty of sin and we deserve death and God's wrath in hell. You see, we often think about going to heaven, and when people think about going to heaven, they think about what they need to do to get there. We start making lists. We start making religions. We start thinking about being good and not being bad, or rather we think about being good enough. What's the minimum I need to do in order to be good enough? And what's the think about not being bad enough. I mean, I think about what can I get away with and still go there? But we can't do enough. We can't be good enough. And we've all been bad enough. So heaven is more than 12,500 miles away. It's even more than 46 billion light years away. It's literally an infinite chasm that we could never cross. But the gospel is that Jesus crossed the chasm for us. Isaiah 53:6 says it like this. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And Romans 6:23, which starts by saying that the wages of sin is death, ends by saying that the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, if you have faith in Jesus, you will have treasure for all eternity in heaven. And Jesus seems to be saying that if your treasure is in heaven, your heart can be in heaven even now. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, if your treasure is in the heavens now, then maybe that means your heart can be in heaven now. So how far is heaven? Well, maybe heaven's even closer than you expect. In fact, maybe heaven can be in our hearts even now. See, as we fully come to trust in Jesus Christ, we receive not just salvation, but joy. We receive joy in Christ. It's joy that isn't dependent on our circumstances, but rejoices even in the midst of suffering, even while we're in this crazy world, in this prison that we're living in, because our joy isn't of this earth, but comes from Jesus Himself, who is our treasure. You see, our treasure isn't heaven. Do you catch that? Our treasure is not heaven. The Bible says that our treasure is in the heavens. So heaven can't be your treasure if your treasure is in the heavens. It's like saying, Donald is this room. No, Donald isn't this room. Donald's in this room, right? So if you're trying to find Donald, you don't just come to this room. If Donald's not here, you come to find Donald if he is in this room. So the same way with our treasure. Our treasure isn't heaven. Our treasure is in the heavens. Our treasure isn't what we earn for ourselves with our good works, because our works fail. Our greatest acts of righteousness are filthy rags. But Jesus never fails, because Jesus is perfect love. And the Bible says that love never fails. You see, if we look to heaven itself to be the treasure, then we might end up thinking of heaven as more of a prison. Maybe you've heard people say, heaven just sounds so boring, right? Who wants to sit around all day on clouds and singing hymns and playing harps? I mean, it sounds so boring. I'd rather go to hell. At least all of my friends are there, right? If you try to make heaven itself into the treasure, well, you might end up wanting hell instead. I mean, who really cares about streets made of gold or the pearly gates? I mean, it might be pretty cool the first few hundred years, but billions of years later, I don't think we're going to care at all about those things. I mean, how many of us have gone on vacation and then by the end of the week, we just want to get home, right? So if we think that heaven itself is going to be the treasure, we might think it sounds more like a prison. But even when people say that they'd rather go to hell, I don't think that they're really thinking clearly about this. I don't think it's just Christians who long for heaven. I think everyone longs for heaven. They just don't know what it is. They think heaven itself is supposed to be the treasure. And Christians, a lot of times we don't do this justice in thinking through this. We encourage people, hey, you want to go to heaven after you die, right? That's the treasure. That's the reward. But that's not the reward. I mean, Jesus Himself is the reward. Jesus is the reward. See, as long as you think heaven is the treasure that we long for, the treasure that we're supposed to long for, as long as you think like that, it might sound more like a prison, but heaven is not the treasure. Jesus is our treasure. He's the one who doesn't grow old. He's the treasure that never fails. He's the one who gives life. And when you see Him as the treasure, then heaven is that wonderful place where you get to go and be with Him and rejoice in Jesus for all eternity. But eternity doesn't just start when you die. Eternity is the quality of life that begins as soon as you trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus prayed this in John chapter 17. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. You see, Jesus isn't just the way to eternal life, as if He was the the way to the treasure. Knowing Jesus is eternal life. He isn't just the way to the treasure. He is the treasure. He isn't just the way to heaven. Knowing Him is heaven on earth. So maybe heaven is all around us, but we've just been treating it like it's hell. Of course, there is a real heaven and a real hell for after this life is over. I'm not discounting that at all. And what we do with Jesus determines where we go. But figuratively and even quite practically, what we do with Jesus today determines whether today we will experience the joys of heaven or the torments of hell. Even today. Even in this life. You see, if Jesus is your treasure, then even this life can feel a lot more like heaven. Having Jesus as your treasure would mean that you see all the temporary earthly treasures as worthless compared to the awesome privilege of knowing Jesus. And having that attitude, you might live in a way that the world around you just sees as completely insane. Verse 33. Sell your possessions. Give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. If someone were to do that today, sell all their possessions and give to the needy, most people would think that he went insane, right? I mean, he would say, man, he's lost it. You know, this guy's crazy. What is he doing? He's just selling everything that he has and giving it all to the needy. I mean, this guy's gone crazy. And yet, at the same time, we all kind of wonder if that's what we're really supposed to be doing. If that's what Jesus requires of us in order to follow Him, in order to get the treasure. But verse 33 doesn't tell us how to get the treasure. Rather, it's an example of how we live when we have the treasure and see Him for who He is. Because Jesus, if Jesus is your treasure, then your possessions suddenly become far less treasure, right? They become far less important to you. You might just sell them and give them and give to the needy. You might just spend your time not on getting more, but on giving more. You might just want to double your giving to the church or to the youth as they raise funds for mission trips and camps. And you might see this not as something you have to do because it's part of your religion or rules, but as joy because the things of this world grow old. They fail. They pass away. But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you have Jesus, you have the greatest treasure. You may have heard Nick sing some Spanish in that song earlier. Do any of you speak Spanish? No? I don't either. I had to look it up. Here's the English translation of what he sang. You who are high in heaven, send me down your blessing. Talking to God. You who are high in heaven, send me down your blessing. And God did send down His blessing. His name is Jesus. He is our greatest treasure. Sent straight from heaven to the earth to die for our sin. And now He's back in the heavens, waiting to come back for you. So don't think of heaven as the treasure. Realize that if you have Jesus, you have the treasure. So walk in Him. Believe the gospel and be saved. Let's pray. God, thank You for Jesus. Help us to see Him every day as our greatest treasure. Help us, as we rest in Jesus, not to look for treasure in this life, on this earth, looking for heaven on earth in earthly things, but realize that if we have Jesus, we already have heaven on earth. Jesus is with us wherever we go. And God, I pray that we would rely on the Spirit, that we would sometimes do things that the world sees are completely insane, but not because they are insane, but because they are the epitome of saneness. Because we recognize that we already have the treasure, and we don't need this world's treasures. God, transform our hearts to see how how great you are. And I pray that we would also overflow with that generosity towards others, that they would see that our treasure is not in this life, but in Jesus. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.